When you came in this morning in your bulletin, you probably found a couple of pieces of material that were a little different. They are gifts to you from the National Association of Soil Conservation Districts. Today is a message focused around habitat stewardship. Every year I try to do a message that's related to our God-directed, God-given responsibility to care for our environment. Now, I'm not a tree hugger necessarily. I'm not an ultra conservationist. But as a Christian, as God's people, we are all called to be conservationists to one degree or another. And so it's good every now and then to be reminded of our responsibility to care for the environment. And so I've given you these free materials. They were free to us from the Sussex County Conservation District to share with you, just to help you in your awareness of caring for our habitat. We need to be reminded from time to time that we are called to care for our natural resources. And this can be just an awareness thing, but it can be so much more as well. Today I want to focus on two words, habitat stewardship. Habitat stewardship. Now, what do we mean by habitat? Well, habitat is nothing more than the natural environment that plants and animals live in, as well as the surrounding area of that habitat. So habitat is that area in which things live. Your habitat is your area that you live. Animals have a habitat. Birds have a habitat, and so forth and so on. But what do we mean by stewardship? The first thing most people think of is money, right? We think, oh God, here comes another money sermon. Well, stewardship is so much more than money. Money, it doesn't even give the word justice. Stewardship is nothing more than careful, responsible management of something entrusted to one care. We can be stewards of anything. If someone entrusts us with something, be it their child or their lawnmower or their money or whatever, and we're entrusted with its care, we're stewards. We are stewards of that. And so what we're talking about today is what it means to be stewards of our environment, stewards of our habitat. Habitat stewardship is the focus of today. Well, why is this important? Why do we spend at least one or two Sundays a year talking about habitat stewardship and conservation? Well, I think as people of God, we have to realize that we have a directive from God. We have a biblical command, really, to care for what God has entrusted to us. In Genesis, the scripture that I read for the children this morning, Genesis 2:15 says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to what? To care for it." To care for it. God gave us this beautiful planet, this beautiful blue planet to live on that is perfect for human life, for human existence. If it were different 1, 2, or 3 degrees either way, we could not live on this blue ball that we call Earth. And so God has given us a directive to care for the land, to care for the earth. God also made a covenant with Noah in Genesis chapter 9, when he talked about, the Bible says, "And with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth." You see, God saved the people on the ark, but not only the people, the what? The animals, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, and the reptiles and animals and so forth. So God has a special place in his heart for his creation. Many centuries later, the Apostle Paul is still writing about these things when he writes to his protege Timothy in Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. Paul writes, "Guard what has been entrusted to you." Guard what has been entrusted to you, whatever that may be. It could be your money. It could be your family. It could be your home, your environment, your habitat, whatever it is. Guard what has been entrusted. So you see, as people of God, we have a directive, a biblical directive, to care for that which is in our possession, those things that we are to take care of. You know, it's really amazing what God has provided for us, isn't it? God has given us this beautiful earth. He has given us air to breathe and food to eat and water to drink and plants to eat and animals to enjoy. God has provided all these things, the soil, everything. It's amazing what God has provided, let alone salvation, eternal life. And yet we are called to care for this environment. We are charged to use it responsibly. And when we use it irresponsibly, when we see the rainforest being destroyed, and we see land being raped, and when we see environments and habitats destroyed without regard for wildlife, I believe God's heart is grieved. I believe God drops a tear when he sees us out of greed and out of lust destroy our environment. I look at the Gulf situation with the oil bubbling up from the bottom and how that's going to destroy so much. I know God's heart is broken when he sees things like that, or the Exxon Valdez in Alaska and so forth. We are called as people of God to honor God through our habitat stewardship. And that's, again, what this message is about today. And to develop healthy conservation habits. And that's what I've entitled this message, is Healthy Habits, Healthy Habitats. Healthy conservation habits, healthy habitats. There's a term used in conservation circles called sustainable living. Sustainable living. What does that mean? Well, sustainable living means simply using only what you need. Using only what you need. But to do that, it requires great wisdom. And where do we find the wisdom to use only what we need and to care for our environment and to use wisdom? We find that wisdom in the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God. The Word of God, as we all know, reveals God's will and God's wisdom to us. That is our primary source of truth. Our primary source of God's will is the Word of God. And God has not only given us His Word in the Scriptures, but He's also given us the Holy Spirit, which we'll talk a lot about next week at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit has been given to us to help us understand what the Word of God says about this and any other topic. The Holy Spirit helps us to discern as we seek to obey God's directive to be good stewards of our earth. God's Word tells us that He not only cares for the widows and the orphans and the poor and the homeless and so forth, but also the animals. If we look at Exodus 23, verses 10 through 11, here we read these words: "For 6 years, you are to sow your fields and harvest the crops. But during the seventh year, let the land lie unplowed and unused. Then the poor among your people may get food from it, and the wild animals may eat what they leave. Do the same with your vineyard and your olive grove." In other words, God is saying not only do the poor have a right to glean, that's the old word term, gleaning the fields, but also leave some for the animals. God loves the animals too. God said, "Be holy, for I am holy." What did He mean by that? Well, God was saying, "Be like me. Be like me." That doesn't mean deity. It means take on my attributes, take on my characteristics. One way we can do that is taking responsibility for God's creation that He's entrusted to our care. Taking responsibility. I want to spend some time with those two words here and try to help us understand how we can take responsibility not only in our backyards, in our homes, but in our community and in our nation. We can take responsibility in our own backyards by learning the plants and the animals and the things that live around our particular homes and habitats, if you will. Some of you may have wetlands on your property. Wetlands are an absolutely wonderful ecosystem. I know some of you, like the Mayhorns there, live on a beautiful pond, and others live near canals and creeks and other wetlands, wetland areas and woods and so forth. But have you ever taken the time to stop and look at the native plants there, to look at what's growing in those wetlands and in those woods and along those trails and ditch banks and so forth? The wetlands are a source of food and shelter and protection, as well as being a buffer for flooding and tides. What about planting native species of plants? You know, there's a real problem in some areas of invasive non-native plants growing in certain areas that are choking out and taking over natural plants. Do we know what the natural plants, do we know what is supposed to be growing in our habitats and our environments, and what is an invasive species? We'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. We can use greater care using pesticides and insecticides and chemicals of all kinds. You know, one of the problems, I think, in the world is that we don't read the labels on our lawn fertilizers and whatnot. We don't apply them properly. We think we know how to handle everything, but maybe we don't. And that causes problems in the ecosystem. Going green with some of the green chemicals and products that are out now. There's more green merchant items available for those things, non-toxic things that can be used these days. Something as simple as what I shared with the children, using paper instead of plastic, or one of those reusable grocery bags. You know, I keep mine in the car, and I try to remember to grab it. I don't always remember it. Try to grab it to take in the store with me to carry out the bread and milk and so forth. And then, of course, as we also shared, to recycle. And I'd like to think that all of us are recycling something, be it plastic or paper or cans. We do recycle here at the church to some degree. We can do a better job with that as well. We recycle aluminum cans, of course. We need to do a better job with our plastics, the iced tea and the lemonade bottles that we use so much of here. But I know our office, we go down twice a week to the recycle bins to take the cardboard and the office paper. It's so easy nowadays because you don't even have to sort anything except the cardboard. You just throw it all in the dumpster. They don't, or the igloos, they call them. You don't even have to sort it anymore. They've made it. And now they even have curbside recycling for a small fee each month. So we encourage people to take responsibility in their own backyards in these ways. We can take responsibility in our communities. I gave Paul Faircloth a call this week. You know, Paul sings in our praise band, family members here. Paul works out at Cape Henlopen State Park and is part of the Department of Natural Resources. And I asked Paul to share with me some things going on either at the park or in the community that people can get involved with by taking responsibility in these things. And Paul gave me a wonderful list of things that probably most of you, some of you already know about. Trails Day. Anybody ever heard of Trail Day? Trails Day? Yeah. Glenn Mack back there, Greg Mack back there. Yeah, others. Every month there's a Trail Day, and they've got one coming up June the 5th, as a matter of fact. And as I understand it, they'll be doing the trails around Cape Henlopen Park and looking for invasive species of plants that need to be pulled up, yanked out, and replaced with natural plants of this area. Adopt a beach program, beach cleanups. How many of you ever participated in beach cleanup? More of you. Yeah, picking up the trash. I think that's in February or something. I'm not sure. It's really cold last time I did it. I can't remember when it was. Hopefully there's more than one. Beach cleanup programs. Planting of the green, planting of the green, beach grass. I know many of you are involved in beach grass planting, and that's a good thing. I used to take my Boy Scouts every year down to Indian River, and we used to take the pole and stick the hole in the ground and put the grass in, and wonderful way to help the environment there. Christmas tree recycling. Cape Henlopen State Park is a drop-off point for your live Christmas trees, which they are mulched chop those up, and that mulch is free, I understand. We have any bird watchers in our midst? The Delaware Ornithological Society always can get involved with that, bird watching. If you really want something exciting to do this summer, how about counting horseshoe crabs? They always need volunteers counting horseshoe crabs. Very important, very important. And then, of course, the Nature Conservancy, which preserves land from development.